I am at what is called the birthplace of country music. It's Bristol, Virginia, and I'm going to tell you how and why Bristol earned that title in podcast 1134, the Bob Davis Podcast. Way back in 2016, I did a podcast about this museum, which opened after I did the podcast, and I interviewed one of the curators of the future museum. It was an okay podcast, but I have never felt real good about it because this music and this story is deep and complex and has far-reaching consequences. And I don't know if you can get it into a single podcast, but I'm going to give it a shot a second time. I always have a lot of people to thank for helping this podcast grow and to be on the internet. And one of the people to thank is Lonnie at 36 Lynn and all the guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated refueling station in South Minneapolis. They are revolutionizing the convenience store industry because what they're doing is they are selling locally sourced products, quality products in the store. And of course, you always get a better deal on fuel at independent refueling stations. Look at their Instagram feed at 36 Lynn or check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Really appreciate the support, Lonnie, and we'll be talking about 36 Lynn for another year. I'm on a mega trip, and it brought me through mountain country, Appalachia, in Virginia, as I'm headed over to Tennessee, and then on to Missouri and back up to Wisconsin. And I thought it was a great opportunity to do the Bristol Birthplace of Country Music podcast over again, and hopefully leave you with a deeper experience. Now, this podcast, there's not going to be an interview just being inside the museum. So you're going to hear the inside of the museum at the birthplace of country music here in Bristol. So much of this museum is musical and historical. It is focused primarily on audio. So when you go to the museum, you experience a mishmash, almost a cacophony of the early days of country music, interviews and songs, going back to the summer of 1927. Now, when you're walking through the museum, you might not feel that or hear that, but what I've done is walk you through the museum and you are going to hear the cacophony. As you go into the museum, the very first thing that happens is you go up the stairs to this little exhibit, which is arranged like a train station. Gives you a little history of the region and the people and the fact that because it was up into these mountains, they're hills. I'd call them hills. They're not like the Western mountains, but it's rough country. And these people were very independent and they sort of formed their own little sort of society up in these hills. Gives you a little history. Then the doors open up and you go into essentially a film orientation. So you go into a theater and you watch a film. And that's where you start in the museum.
Music was and still is part of our language. From old timers to newcomers, we shared it. We preserved it, and we reinvented it. European, African, folk songs, spirituals, blues and ballads, mournful tunes and dance music, they all spoke to our identity. In the summer of 1927, this musical legacy and a transformative new technology were both bound to Bristol.
Ralph Peer recorded 19 or 20 artists amounting to about 10 to 15 hours of audio, and he couldn't possibly have known the impact it would have, and still has.
That summer, stirred up by talent scouts and newspapers, pickers and singers, gospel choirs, and professional entertainers all came to Bristol. They came to record their music, most for the very first time. No one knew then that these 10 days would come to be known as the Bristol Sessions.
You know, they called it hillbilly music back then. And I don't know today whether the people of Appalachia would take it as an insult or a compliment. Who knows how old these songs are? Obviously, it's been almost 100 years since the recordings, but you know, these songs made their way through the mists of time with the immigrants to the New World from Scotland, Wales, England, and Germany. They came here from the 1730s on through to the early 1900s. They brought with them their music, and the thing is, back in those days, there was no entertainment, so it was porch music. People sat on their porches and sang and played, and this is how they entertained themselves.
No chilling wind, no poem spread, can reach that helpful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death, all felt and feared no more.
I'm redeemed, Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
My family on both sides is from Appalachia, the southeastern Ohio version of that. My mom's people came over in the 1760s, and my dad's people came over probably in the late 1800s to be coal miners in Ross County, I believe, or Athens County, Ohio.
They had an incredible memory. They heard somebody singing a song 40 years before.
In 10 days, 19 different recording groups performed and 68 songs were released with the label Orthophonic, so buyers would know these recordings had been made with the best technology of the day.
And being almost 100% Welsh, I can tell you that these songs resonate with me at a much deeper level than I think just liking the music or enjoying the music would have. I wouldn't say, I'm much more of a fan of blues and rock music and even jazz than I am necessarily of country, but this music gets me.
Oh, go dig a hole in the meadow. Oh, go dig a hole in the ground. Oh, dig a hole in the meadow. Let me lay pretty Corey down.
Then after the movie, you get up and you go on into the museum. Here we go. I don't think that the impact of recording this music for the first time can be underestimated. Certainly on American music at the time, but later on also on so-called country music, but really all forms of music. Johnny Cash actually called the Bristol Sessions the single most important event in the history of country music. It may be one of a few significant events in the history of music in this country, all kinds of music. Where did these songs come from? Well, A.P. Carter, the head of the Carter family back in the day, traveled the hills and hollers of Appalachia and collected and arranged these songs, wrote a few of his own, and pulled it all together with the bell-like voice of Maybelle Carter and his wife Sarah.
Put a big carpet on the floor, and then they hung another one up like a tent down over you, and you got under that to record.
It's an old dark room. Imagine somebody 12 years old. I was so scared I wouldn't get any from Daddy. Hardly.
We did a recording with Jimmy Rogers. In fact, we did our first recording at the same time Jimmy did his, only we did ours about 2 days before he did his.
What was unique about these people is they had a photographic memory. They could hear a song once and play it again 40 years later the way they heard it the first time. In addition, they were excellent musicians and creative. The style of music, the way they played, was revolutionary, and it's still studied today by musicologists and musicians. It's really amazing.
At the time of the Bristol Sessions, I think you're right. People are like, woo-hoo.
Yeah, check out what I can do.
I'll try to show you how Maybelle Carter played guitar. She's probably the most influential musician of the 20th century. You know, she played with a flat pick. She played with a thumb pick and a finger pick. She played with the thumb and no picks. I think there's a number of things that Maybelle Carter borrowed from the banjo, in the right hand and the left hand. In the left hand, she does a lot of, and she'll pull on the string and hammer. That's very banjo-like. She's got a metal finger pick on the index finger. And it's not worn backwards with a curvy part over the top. And yet she'll play a downstroke. And it gives it a lot of sparkle, but then she'll come up again. My favorite that she recorded at the Bristol Sessions was Single Girl, Married Girl. It's beautiful guitar playing. It was. I can't sing as high as Sarah.
Well, so Jody, I'm wondering how you would connect Maybelle Carter to one of the other great guitarists on the Bristol Sessions, Alfred Garnes.
He's making the same rhythmic moves in the same way, except for how he moves his thumb. From the sound of his guitar, I would say he's using no picks. To me, it sounds like the bare fingers. I don't think he could get that sound. To me, it sounds like the bare fingers. And I think the index came flying out as well.
And then there's the most recorded man on the Bristol Sessions, Pot Stoneman.
Okay, Ernest Stoneman.
Ernest Stoneman, and he had a completely different approach.
Before 1927, they recorded songs from the Delta region, which is a significant area of a unique type of music, blues music, the birthplace of blues music in the Delta. They recorded a few blues artists. And they'd had a few singers and players come up to New York to record. So 100 years ago, in 1927, in search of new material, Ralph Peer went down to Bristol, Virginia to record this hillbilly music. It is said scholars call this recording, the Bristol Sessions, the Big Bang of country music. Bristol was booming then. It was an active town of commerce, railroads, drug companies, agriculture, and logging. Just very quickly, I want to thank everybody who donates to the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you're on a phone, you go all the way down to the bottom. You're going to see the donate window. Click on it. You can donate whatever you'd like, and you can also set up a monthly donation. And I appreciate everybody who has helped. It really helps on the road. So this is a 3,500-mile mega trip. I've seen an awful lot. Next podcast is going to be a travel log, and I'm going to thank everybody personally. But your contributions to the Bob Davis Podcast have really helped keep fuel in the vehicle. And I'll talk more about that next podcast. For me, this brings together music, recorded music, history, and radio. And those are really big rivers of thought for me.
I've seen truth all my days. I'll say goodbye to Colorado, where I was born and partly
all. With the advent of portable recording, as difficult as it was then to get a good sound, the artist didn't have to just play in a studio for a radio station once recorded, or play in a studio for recording, you know, for a record company. Once it was recorded, radio stations could play this music on these 78 RPM records. So you have kind of a protozoic confluence of new technologies that really changed everything. It's also important to note that a similar confluence, but much more sophisticated and really equally as powerful, would take place with the development of rock and roll and modern folk music 40 years, maybe 45 years, 35 years later. Even the Bristol Sessions reverberates with popular music today because we now have the sessions that are available. These days, I don't think you can underestimate the power of music, especially these very old songs, as I said earlier, in a world that cries out for emotional connection. By 1927, the Barn Dance, I believe on WLS, and the Grand Ole Opry were already on the air. A seminal radio and recording industry was just beginning to change the country in many, many ways. Again, the influence culturally on America of this music, both as a mirror and as a chronicle of the music that people in those hills listen to and the people in the Delta listen to. I think it's very difficult to put a value judgment on how important it has been.
Across the ferry, and hey, the flames are rotten in it. and Joe was so scared that he wouldn't be doing it close his eyes after we got across that ferry.
He crank up to Martin's head, he'd get hung in the creek. I'm one to hold us up and had about 40 flats on the way, maybe.
And then many a night, I sat on the running board and held a ladder to get home, yeah.
We walked maybe for 3 miles to the church, or rode the horse, and he came up on the outside while the service was going on. Everybody sung the beads, and we just had to get in.
I don't go to museums very often in my travels. I think everybody that listens to me knows that I like to drive through and see how things have changed. The small towns have become cities and the enclaves have become suburbs. But every now and then, you can still find these undisturbed places that these people, back in 1927, nearly 100 years ago, might have called home. The best place to see it is along Highway, Highway 58. I picked it up somewhere in Virginia and followed it all the way to Bristol, Virginia. There's a Bristol, Tennessee, and a Bristol, Virginia. They're both together. But all of this, the recording sessions, everything, that all happened on the Virginia side back in 1927. So Highway 58, they call it the Crooked Highway. And if you're up for a summer trip, then this is a highway you really should take, because you can see, first of all, Appalachia, whether it is North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Southeastern Ohio, even all the way up into the northern parts of what is considered the Appalachian Formation, I guess, it's 400 million years old, is stunningly beautiful. And I've forgotten how beautiful this land is, especially when you're driving on this highway and there's nothing else around. So I highly recommend that trip if you can take it this summer. But we're all lucky that those people back in the day made the trip to Bristol that August in 1927. I mentioned that this has been a mega trip. So I've gone from Quartzsite, Arizona, all through Texas, down to the Gulf Coast, all along what's called the Redneck Riviera, down into the west coast of Florida, further on down. I didn't go all the way to the bottom of Florida. I came across through the Everglades at around Vero Beach, came out, and then went up the East Coast, all along the beaches, the Outer Banks, all the outer islands in Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina, and then made my way over to Virginia and Bristol. And it is spring, and it really feels like spring here now. We've had heavy rains, and now the rains are over, the sun is out, and it's beautiful. So if you're getting ready to celebrate spring with a garden, check out Garden Gurus MN. They can help you do a lot of things. They can help you clean it. They can help you clear away those thorn bushes, whatever they're called. They can assist in any way that you need to make your garden really great. GardenGurusMN.com. The Birthplace of Country Music Museum in Bristol, Virginia. It's worth seeing. Thanks for listening.
I was standing by the window on one cold and cloudy day, and I saw the hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Oh, can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Undertaker, please.